Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your host, Derek Hoskins, and we are so glad and we're so honored to have you with us tonight. Why do I say we? Well, because I'm not by myself. I'm joined, of course, as always, my good friend and yours, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how's it going, man?
Derek, it's no surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise to you that I'm very sleepy right now.
Why?
I think it has to do with the fact that, well, that can't be it. I was going to say, I think it has a fact to do with the fact. Allow myself to introduce myself. That the sun is going down quicker now, and yeah, it gets really dark really quick. It feels like it's like 5:30, and it gets pitch black outside.
Yeah, it's completely dark by 5:30.
But if you recall correctly, which I'm sure you will, even during the summer at 10 p.m. when it got dark, I was just as tired. So that's really no excuse. I don't know, man. I feel like I should be recharged and good to go. But I think once we get into some fancy trailers here, I think that'll liven me up a little bit, because a few dropped today or yesterday. Mm-hmm. But there's some new trailers, and I am happy to discuss them with you, the ones that I've had a chance to watch, not all of them.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to jump into the trailers that dropped today. And I think that I'll go over the Transformers one real quick. I don't remember if that dropped last night or this morning, but we got a couple of big trailers today. And so before we dive into Willow, don't worry. I know if you clicked on this because you wanted to hear us talk about Willow, we're going to get there. But, you know, overall, as far, even though we cover streaming in every way and fantasy like Willow, we're a comic book fan podcast. And so we got to talk about things that are incredibly comic book related. But before that, Transformer Rise of the Beasts, didn't know what to expect. I'm not a big fan of the Transformers movies. I watched the first three, kind of wanted to drop off after the second one. I never got it to watch Bumblebee, even though I heard it was good. But this one, I would be lying if I said I didn't think it looked great. The designs look fantastic. I think that they're using, it looks like, the design for Optimus Prime, like you had in Bumblebee, where he's a little more accurate to like the cartoons. He's got the more boxy look to him, not so sleek like the Bay movies were. And the little bit that we got to see of like Optimus Primal and some of the other Beast Wars era Transformers, it actually looks really good. And Anthony Ramos is in this one, and I really like him. He's a good actor. So Ian, without seeing the trailer, are you even a little excited about the Rise of the Beast?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I was a fan of the Beast Wars cartoon growing up. Was it a cartoon?
It was computer animated.
Yeah, it was like that. It was computer animated. Yeah.
It was like that reboot style computer animation.
Yeah. And I was a fan of that show. Now, I couldn't name a character, a voice actor, an episode, an instance. I just remember, was it Cheetor?
Cheetor, Rat Trap, Optimus Primal.
Yeah. So other than that,
I don't remember any of the other ones.
Now I do like I said, I was a big fan growing up as a kid watching that show.
Yeah, I was too.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Because I'm with you, man. That first Transformers I thought was amazing.
It was a blast. It was so much fun.
I watched that like 10 times when it came out. I liked it a lot. And then 2 came out, and I was like, okay, this is kind of a step down. It's not great. And then 3.
Yeah, 3 was
came
awful.
Out.
3 was so bad. Yeah, so much so that I don't even know how many have there been? 5? Did they do 5? Two with Mark Wahlberg or 3 with Mark Wahlberg?
I think there was 2 with Mark Wahlberg. It was the first 3, then the 2 with Mark Wahlberg, then Bumblebee. So 6 altogether. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. I liked Shia LaBeouf in the first one. I didn't even hate him in the second one, but in the third one, I was like, God, I kind of hope he dies.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed. And then also Megan Fox wasn't in the third one. They replaced her with a Victoria's Secret model. with a Victoria's Secret model that, you know, she did her best, but she wasn't an actress. But anyway, let's move past Transformers because, you know, who really cares? Rise of the Beast looks fun. If you get a chance to watch the trailer, let us know what you thought about it in the comment section of this video or on any of the social
media. I don't even remember the actress they replaced her with. I couldn't even tell you what she looks like.
Rosie Huntington Whitley. I remember her name because it was a long name. I remember thinking that's an incredibly long name.
They literally could have replaced her with an ostrich or a another large bird, and I would have never remembered it regardless.
Yeah.
Because all I can remember, the only thing I remember from that movie is just, and then we'll move on, is Shia LaBeouf screaming way too much for no reason. Not even words, just screaming.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what happened here?
Yeah.
I really wish I could remember what she looked like. But anyway, I digress.
So, yeah, we'll move past that to the two trailers that I was really excited about. I want to save Guardians for last. What did you think of the Indiana Jones 5 trailer, Dial of Destiny?
So, I thought, wow, they made a live action Uncharted 3. Is that not the same dial?
It sure looked like it.
It looked like exactly the same dial. Like they had the little ring hole in the middle, like that Drake put the ring in and spun around the decoder.
It
did look
a lot like it.
So I was just like, wait, is that the same dial? Or I don't know if it's like the same lore or if it's the same story or what, or legend, so to say. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Listen, and I'm going to come out and say it. I have not watched an Indiana Jones movie that I haven't enjoyed. And that's right. I'm talking about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And for those of you who are out there saying, that movie was garbage, that movie was stupid, how could you like that movie? How could you not?
It was fun.
That movie was stupid. It was about aliens. He literally found the cup of Christ.
That was being guarded. Again, and that was being guarded by an immortal knight Templar, like a Templar knight. Mm-hmm. That if you drank from the wrong cup, you would age immediately into dust. But if you chose the right one, it would heal all wounds. And if you took it past there, it was
chosen.
Holy. So yeah, I agree with you 100%. I know that. I'll let you get back.
He ripped another man's heart out. Heart, he didn't.
Out of a living person. Else. Molaram took the heart out.
Pulled the beating heart out. The guy was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. The hate. Look.
Aliens is where we draw the line.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was not a great movie. I will acknowledge that. There are plot holes. There are issues. It wasn't a great movie. The Cate Blanchett is amazing.
Accurate. Because if it was, I'll tell you, Bobby Tingle loved it.
Colonel Bob loved it.
If it was historically accurate, shit, hot garbage.
Sorry, inside joke. But yeah. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wasn't a great movie, but it was fun. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't so outside the realm of reality that it somehow broke the lore of Indiana Jones. I never will understand the hatred that movie gets, but people that hate on that because, oh, well, he survived a nuclear blast in a fridge. Okay. He sailed down a mountain in a raft.
Got his heart ripped out of his chest and he lived. I'll say it calmer. A man got his heart, his beating heart, the main organ that keeps you alive, taken out of his chest, and he lived. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to sit here and tell me, you know, actually, it's well known that you can live up to 5 minutes without a heart. Not comfortably. That man was still, his way down into this
fiery,
burning pit. It's illogical. He crashed a plane, like you said, jumping out into a raft that they cascaded down a snow mountain. And I loved every second of it.
I did too. But anyway, so with movies. All that out of the way, we both agree that there has not been a bad Indiana Jones.
The Nazis
They've all been
opened an ark.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Melted their eyeballs out of their skulls. But we draw the line at aliens. I'm just saying. That's the biggest concern that I've heard. And that and what you said, like, oh, he survived a nuclear blast. None of those movies are logical.
No, they're not supposed to be. They're fun fantasy action. They're supposed to be just dumb, fun.
God,
if we're gonna keep going with Temple of Doom, voodoo is just real in Temple of Doom. It's just accepted to be real. So again,
terrible screams of Harrison Ford.
Stop looking for people that look for realism in an Indiana Jones movie. I think you're looking in the wrong place. So with all that being said,
it's the fact that people are nitpicking Crystal Skull for the same reasons that they're praising the other movies. Is like, oh, they're fun and they're this and they're that. And it's like, yeah, but why is it this? Well, it's just not real. But none of them are realistic. None of them are realistic. All the things we have named are all illogical things.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven not to be real.
Yeah. And again,
voodoo. I'm not fucking with that shit.
We won't say, again, I won't say that they're perfect movies. Crystal Skull is probably the worst of the series, but I thought it was fine. And so because I thought it was fine, I've actually kind of been looking forward to this movie, although I kind of thought that it wasn't real for the longest time. Like, I kept waiting for them to be like, oh, sorry, we were kidding.
For like 10 years.
Yeah, they've been working on it for so long. But then Harrison Ford came out at D23 just a couple of months ago. And like with tears in his eyes, thanked the fans for their patience and for their love of the franchise. That's something that Harrison Ford doesn't do. You don't see Harrison Ford get emotional for a
franchise. He's a man's man.
He's always very stoic. He's very quiet. He's very, you know, just kind of off-putting towards like fans and everything. Not that he's rude by any means, but he's never been one to be like, oh, thank you. He doesn't seem to be a gushy type of person. And so when I saw him at D23 and that he was literally in tears, I thought, man, there might be something to this. And then this trailer dropped. And buddy, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't really, really jazzed for this movie now.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. I wasn't looking forward to it at all.
I mean,
all.
That man
and
has
now
got
I'm really excited.
Sorry. That man has gotten hurt several times during the, he got ill and they had to stop for a while and he got hurt. And he was like, even on the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's a well-known story by now that he got so deathly ill in the scene where the guy street, he's actually supposed to fight the guy, but he pulls out his gun and shoots him. Well, right. That wasn't originally in the script. Harrison Ford was just so sick. He didn't have the energy to do it. So he pulled out. He just thought it would be funny. And then they thought it was so funny and then great. They left it in the movie.
Yep.
So like he does so much. He puts so much into these movies. I mean, I feel like Harrison Ford is very underrated, and I know he's a big name actor and everybody loves him, and there's not a negative thing to say about him, but underrated in the fact that like he puts his body on the line, even like he doesn't always do it. He doesn't do his own stunts. I mean, on the set of Star Wars Force Awakens, he got very injured with one of the doors of the ship collapsing
on the Falcon door, landed and broke his leg in like three places.
Yeah, and it fucked up. I'm pretty sure it hurt his back too in the making of that movie. So like he puts a lot. I mean, God, he was in his late 60s, almost 70s during the shooting of that movie. And I mean, he was probably same for this movie. And I know they shot a few scenes like recently. So you're talking about a man who's like, what, 71 now?
No, he's 80.
Is he 80? Okay, so I have it backwards. He was 70. He was in his 70s.
Yeah, I think he was in his 70s when he was doing Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But I believe, I'll look it up real quick. He's either 80 or he's about to turn 80. Let's see.
So it's just the longevity of this man's career. Is just fascinating, and he's
he's 80 amongst, he's 80 years old. Yeah,
he's a legend. Love
he is
forward, always have.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. All right, moving on to the last trailer we'll discuss before we get into Willow. I promise, again, for all you clamoring for Willow, I'm sure both of you will be very excited to hear what we have to say about it.
Hey, don't about, we used to do a news wrap every
We did.
We spoiled people.
For people that are new to the show that only started listening, when we first started, we did like a full half hour of news before we got into our main topic.
Every episode.
Every single episode. So you're welcome. This doesn't happen often. You're welcome that it doesn't happen often now that you have to sit through it this time. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We just got done gushing over on Raise a Geek with the guys from Raise a Geek about the holiday special. And now we got the trailer for Volume 3. And, oh boy, I know it's not hard to make me shed a tear, but that trailer has me so concerned for the characters that I have grown to love over these last few years. That I legitimately, I know. I didn't.
You probably cry in your sleep.
I do. I just babbling Brooke in my sleep. But no, I actually did. I tears welled up, especially at the little baby Rocket. Poor little baby Rocket. He's so cute. Poor little baby Rocket. But anyway, yeah. So I'm loving this. I can't wait. I love that we got a chance to see our first look at Adam Warlock. We got a couple of good looks at High Evolutionary. And what looks to be a very, very emotional roller coaster, topped off with a very funny moment from Drax and an incredible We Are Groot moment of Groot with multiple branches,
200 arms,
blasters. So yeah, so I love the trailer. I think it was a very affecting, well paced, intriguing first look at Volume 3. What did you think?
Excuse me, I'll be right on that. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're good. Did I mention I'm tired?
Yeah.
I wish I didn't watch this trailer, because now I'm so stoked and so excited, and it feels like it's a lifetime away.
It does feel like a long
And it is. I mean, anything longer than a month and a half for me is like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I don't want to watch any more trailers, because I've always complained that too many trailers, like, they give away too much in the movie, and I stick by that. And I think this was just enough. Adam Warlock could have been a little bit golder, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're gonna see some more shine to him in post, because I, you know, a lot of times when they do the first, and I know I've gotten people giving me crap about this before, you know, a first trailer is often not using finished special effects, because they're still working up with digital film releases now. They don't have to have it finished like a month ahead of time for them to print the film. They actually can have it working. They can be working right up to like the day before. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit more of a shine put on Adam Warlock.
Yeah, I would hope so. Because like I said, he was a little bit too dull. But again, mm-hmm. It was a trailer. So, and there's plenty of time.
Yeah. I didn't see Cosmo in this trailer. Don't tease me with Cosmo.
I know, right?
I was talking to Colonel Bob earlier, and I said, I don't like that we didn't see Cosmo. You tease me with Cosmo in the holiday special. I better get at least one good scene of Cosmo in this movie. This Groot ruined Christmas. That was a really bad Russian accent.
It wasn't good. Neither was that.
We should just stop doing accents on this show altogether.
Keith Bishop is God, bro.
We're not going to stop. I love Imagine Dragons. All right. So anyway, so Guardians of the Galaxy, Indiana Jones 5, and Transformers Rise of the Beast. Let us know what you thought of those trailers if you have seen them. If not, go check them out and come back and let us know. So now we are going to go into the first two episodes of Willow on Disney+.
We are not. We are not yet.
Oh, what we got?
We got some more bad news, Derek.
What happened? Who died?
We lost another one. Christine McVay.
I know. I saw that. I didn't know if you'd want to talk about it or not.
I do. I wasn't going to mention it because I think that we did a Taylor Hawkins Foo Fighters top five. Mm-hmm. I am ready for a Fleetwood Mac type top five.
You might on this you show. Might have to I might have to tag out our wife Allie. My wife's favorite band is Fleetwood Mac.
Why have I never known that?
I don't know. We went and her dad got us tickets to go see Fleetwood Mac when they came to Louisville a couple of years back.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to we need to get her involved in that. We need to do a top 5 on Fleetwood Mac songs, cuz I could definitely do that. Mine are probably all from the same album, but still.
Probably. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see them with her in the lineup. She was actually not with the band when I went and saw them a few years back, which was a real bummer.
So that wasn't like during like the reunion where Stevie Nicks had came back?
It was during the reunion, but there were a few shows before she agreed to come back, and Louisville happened to be one of the shows.
Oh, so, gotcha.
So Stevie Nicks was there, and
well, she was sick for a while too, wasn't she? Like she was sick and couldn't do anything too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I just wanted to mention that real quick.
Once again, another part of our childhood gone this year, which just continues to suck when it comes to losing influential people in our past. So yeah, thank you. Everything you've done, all your great music. We will definitely do something as a more fitting tribute very soon.
We will.
All right.
But now we can get into Willow. I'm sorry for
now that Ian brought the mood down, we're going to get into Willow. So Willow,
I break you down to build you up.
Yes, and you do such a good job, bud.
Thanks, boo.
All right, Willow on Disney Plus. Ian, what is your, before we actually talk about the episodes, what's your relationship with Willow? Like the movie, the original movie. Like, is it something you watched often? Is it something that not
Willow and I are actually really close.
If Warwick Davis and I would be very upset. I want to meet Warwick Davis. He seems like the coolest person on the planet.
It's weird because the last time I hung out with Warwick Davis, we got in this old like mine cart and we went down into these tunnels and he took me to this vault. But he was very mysterious. Like, he wouldn't tell me much about it. And he kept yelling about key, and I didn't have one. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. What key? I got keys to my car? No. Why are you yelling at me? Why are we in a mine cart?
Did he try and take a sword from you as payment?
Yes, he did, actually. Ginger, Gringotts! That was the name of the... No. Now, here's my Willow story on a serious note. I have not watched Willow in a very long time. Decades, probably, is the last time I watched it. And here's why. I'm going to Tarantino this. I'm going to give you the ending first. I haven't watched it because I never see it on anything. Right. I haven't found it streaming. I haven't seen it on DVD or Blu-ray in store. And I know it's probably out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's out there.
It's on Disney Plus now.
Well, it is now, yeah. Mm. But they never play it on TV anymore. And it's just, you know, it was very forgotten. So if you in the past 10 to 15, probably I'm going to say 15 years, if you bring up Willow, unless you grew up in the 90s like we did, you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And maybe I've heard of it, I'm not sure, but like nobody knows for certain. So with that being said, have I seen Willow? Funny story, probably 100 times. used to watch it because, like I said, growing up in the 90s, they played it constantly on TV. And I always watched it. It was actually my brother and I loved Willow growing up. Mm-hmm. And would watch it anytime it came on TV. It was just one of those movies you didn't turn.
Right.
It was great. And then fast forward a lengthy amount of time, and I'm talking to you, and you mentioned that you're about to have your first daughter, and you tell me her name, Claire Allura. And I thought, Claire Allura, Allura, why does that name sound familiar? And I couldn't place it. I could not place it for the longest time. And I thought, well, maybe it's just one of those things, like you think you know, but you've never really heard of it. And then you tell me one day, like, oh, yeah, I got the name Allura from Willow. I was like, Willow, that's it. That's where I learned that name.
Allura Dannon.
And I thought for the longest time that I had actually made that up in my head. I was like, maybe I've never actually heard that name, and maybe I've heard something close to it. And then I sometimes, like in my head, I get her jumbled with the princess from Neverending Story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why, because they didn't even have the same name. They're not even the same age. So I don't know why. I thought maybe that's who I'm thinking of. And then I'd look it up. I'm like, that's not her name. I don't know where I'm getting that from. So yeah, with that being said, that was one that my brother and I would watch a lot growing up. Loved Willow.
Yeah, I love Willow too.
Val Kilmer was great in that movie.
Mad Mardigan, man. I loved Willow growing up as well. I've always been into sword and sorcery, you know, anything fantasy. And Willow had this really fun, it seemed so different than other things. Like, going back and watching Willow, we showed it to the kids not long ago. They didn't care about it. Like, Claire, my oldest, who's actually her middle name is Elora after Elora Dannon. She like wandered off at one point. My middle daughter was the only one that hung around and actually stuck it out. But it's very much of a time. And I thought that going back and watching it, I had all this nostalgia for it, but I thought, man, I can understand why kids today wouldn't necessarily love Willow like I do, because it's so it almost looks low budget, even though I know they put a lot of money into it.
It is dated. It is very dated. And to us, that's not a big deal because we grew up with that. And back then it looked great. It was magical.
Right. So, yeah, even though, you know, I can't get my kids to love it like I hope they will. I was talking to my wife earlier today and she was like, yeah, we're going to have to actually sit them down and say, look, I know it's a little slow at the beginning. Just sit there. You're going to enjoy it so that they can watch the show with us. But I love Willow. And I was very excited for this because, like I said right there at the beginning, that I really am a fan of Warwick Davis. I think that he has such an interesting story of how he became an actor. Like, he was 12 years old when he played Wicket in Return of the Jedi. And the only reason he got to play that part is because Kenny Baker, who was the person inside of the R2-D2, like, the actual can. He's the one that moved the dome around and everything. He wasn't able to do it, like, the day that he got very sick. And so Warwick Davis, who was just going to be an extra, got a chance to play, like, the main Ewok, and I really think that he's an interesting person, and I'm so excited that he got a chance to come back to arguably his most well-known role. And so when I was looking forward to the show, I was wondering, what are they going to do? Are they going to try and stick with the tone of the original, or are they going to try and update it and make it a little more modern? Because like we said, you know, the filmmaking was a very much of a time in the original. And one thing that I have to say about this show so far is I think that they've gotten a really fun mix of making it feel the same while using updated technology and updated techniques. Because the feel of the world was very much Willow. I felt like I was back in that same world, even though they had it, clearly it was much more updated and much more technologically sound.
HD.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that they did a really good job with that. So what did you think overall before we get into like nuts and bolts of filmmaking techniques? What did you think of this first two episodes?
Man,
it's okay.
I don't want to seem like I'm harping on it because I'm really not. So I don't know where to begin. I'll start with this. I was gonna grab a drink, but I'm just gonna go on. All right,
do it. Just go with it.
So I agree with what you're saying on the realism, so to say, and the updated graphics, so to say. Technology has come a long way, and it really shows. My issue with that is, I don't know if, for me, it loses the same charm that it had back in the day, because there was so Willow. If for whatever reason you watched this show thinking it was something new that you'd never heard of the original movie, and you're just now finding out, like, wait a minute, this was a movie? This was a movie back in, I want to say, like, 88. Am I close?
Yeah, I'll look it up while you're talking, because I do think it's right at the end of the 80s.
So this is a movie that didn't have the best effects, but back then they were great.
My God, you're right on the money. 1988.
Was it 88? Damn.
It was. May 20th, 1988. God, this is a summer release movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't know if it's one of those things, like, if this was a new show or if this was a sequel to a movie that was made in, like, maybe the early to mid 2000s, if it would have looked better, felt better, but, like, something just to me just felt off about it. And like what I was going before I trailed off is, if you've seen the original Willow movie, it has heart. It has redemption because, you know, Mad Mulligan,
Mad Mardigan.
Mad Mardigan, he the first time Willow encounters him, he's swinging in that cage. Right? Uh-huh. And why is he in that cage, Derek? Because he's basically a thief and a barbarian, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's
a bad guy.
He's a bad dude. And then Willow, for whatever reason, I can't remember why, because like I said, it's been a while, but like he helps him get free. He joins him on his quest and he becomes this triumphant warrior. And like I said, it's a tale of redemption. Like he's a reborn character. He gets a second chance. Mm-hmm. And Willow is just like the purest of heart. Like the moment you meet this man with his two small children, and I meant because they were young is what I meant.
Right.
His two young children, I should have said. When they first find the baby floating in that little stream, you just get this wholehearted feeling about this family, and mm-hmm. it does carry into the show, but like I just feel like the vibe was so much like he was so pure back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Do you understand where I'm going
with that? Yeah, I understand where you're going with that for sure. I do get that, and I can see why that could be off-putting. What I was going to say is I'm wondering, because, you know, not to bury the lead, everybody knows that I'm a pretty easy, I'm an easy audience member. It's hard for me.
I'm an easy to laugh.
Well, I am an easy laugh. I'm an easy cry. It's hard for me to hate something. And
you're easy. You're like Sunday morning.
Yeah, easy like Sunday morning. And this is no different. I really enjoyed these first two episodes. I cried.
I did like it. I know it seems like I didn't, but I did like it. I'm just saying, in comparison, there was a lot that was bothering me.
Right. And to your point, what I was going to add to that is I'm wondering how a younger generation that didn't grow up with the nostalgia of Willow is going to react to this show. Because it is very different. It is a little more cynical than the original movie is, but it's also very much, like I said, of the same type of story that Willow was, I think. And so I'm wondering how people are going to feel about it, because it does seem, I don't know how to put it. I'm just curious how people are going to receive this that don't have the nostalgic ties to Willow. Because I think that when people, for better or for worse, Lord of the Rings has set the bar for what a fantasy property looks like ever since, you know, the early 2000s. And everything since then has gone out of its way. Every fantasy movie and TV show has gone out of its way to try and mirror Lord of the Rings in some way or the other. And I'm talking about Peter Jackson. Of course, all fantasy since Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings has sort of been mirroring Tolkien. Excuse me, but the visual footprint and the visual fingerprint that Peter Jackson's movies had, everything has kind of tried to borrow from that. And I don't feel like this does, because I think it's trying to, again, set itself back into that 88 frame of looking at this world. This is a different world. This is what it would look like now versus, you know, what Middle Earth would look like. And so I'm wondering if there's going to be a disconnect with people with the way that it looks and the way that it feels moving forward if they don't already have an emotional tie from the original.
Yeah, so I can get on board with that. But again, like it probably does borrow from that style. But like everything borrows from something. Like there's a blueprint for everything. Just like you could argue that Lord of the Rings borrowed from Willow, like the format there, and just tweaked it and made it its own. Or I mean, you can even say it borrowed it from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I mean, like those. You know what? Like you can't really take that type of story and tell me that you're not like kind of like tweaking it to your own and building off of it and making it your own. I mean, Dragonheart, we talked about it earlier. Mm-hmm. Like all those are like fantasy type movies or shows or I don't think I mentioned any shows, but there are probably worse shows. They're all like the same, but at the same time, they're different. So I get what you're saying, but at the same time, like if that's a real complaint where people are just like, oh, it's too much like this, it's like, yeah, but a lot of movies do that. You got to start somewhere. And it is different between being a blatant ripoff of something and borrowing something from something else, which, like I said, the format on this, there's really no way to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because technically Willow did it first. And I guess what I'm saying in my long-winded rant again is the fact that it didn't stray too far from the original Willow, like source material wise. There definitely is some new stuff in there, but I mean, like, as far as like the legend goes, like, like creatures and stuff like that, then you had a lot of that in the original, and I don't feel like they've added too much that drifted away from the original story. I do have to say, I almost turned it off when I saw those two girls kissing. Ooh. Ooh. Let me tell you, if there's one thing that gets my blood boiling, it's two women kissing.
Yeah, we talked about this ahead of time, that I'll let you know that was in there, because if you guys haven't watched the Silver Screen Scoundrels review of Strange World, that's a big topic. Disney has been coming a little bit under fire lately because they have been embracing a little more inclusivity and diversity and showing people of different sexual orientations and not making it a big deal, just allowing it to be a part of the world, because spoiler alert, it's a part of the world. That's we live in a world where there are people that are attracted to the same sex, and it's about time for people to just be okay with that. It's getting ridiculous that this is still an argument.
I get, as it, I say, as a parent, I'm not an actual parent, but I get the perspective of a parent, like, wanting to not let their kids, hear me out, not let their kids watch this kind of stuff to where it has that in there because they think they're too young and it confuses them. I think you're wrong. I don't think you're correct on it. I think you're being ridiculous, but I understand that you think you're doing the right thing, and in your mind you think, like, well, I'm not being homophobic and I'm not being this. I just, you know, my child's too young and I don't want to confuse him. Where's the confusion? What's the confusion? Because, like, confusing, like, what? Like, how they're supposed to feel, like, about sexuality? I mean, they're young. They're watching right. Disney movies. You know, they're too young to be thinking about stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
do you know what kids do when they see two people kissing? Like, I've got five kids. Do you know what they do when they see two people kissing? They all do the same thing up until, like, my oldest is just now not doing it anymore, which is hilarious because she's right on the cusp of, like, actually being attracted to people. But literally every time when I come home from work and I give my wife a kiss and the kids are around, ew. You got it. You nailed it. It's ooh. They don't care. We went and saw Lightyear. Yeah. They didn't even notice. They don't pay attention. Yeah.
And even if they did, okay. It's a part of the world, like you said. You got to educate. So I feel like, and maybe I'm going too far with this, but I feel like if you are telling yourself that I can't let my, and it's none of my business what you do with your children, but it just bothers me the fact that you're going to tell them, like, I don't want to take you to this movie because you're going to see this and I don't want to confuse you. So what do you do if you go to a store and there is a same-sex couple there and they're doing some PDA, hand-holding, hugging, gestures, you know, kissing? Are you going to cover your kids' eyes? Are you going to tell them, like, hey, cut that shit out, my kid's over here? No. You're going to take them, you're going to walk away. If they ask a question, you're going to explain it to the best of your ability. Well, you know, when two people love each other, this is what they do. Well, yeah, but what? And you're going to explain it to the best of your ability. But like you said, the same reaction at a certain age is going to be the same.
Yeah.
Regardless, it doesn't matter who's kissing. You're a man. Your wife is a woman. Your kids still think it's disgusting that you kiss your wife.
Well, and, like,
it's normal. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, and even, like, kids are curious. Like, and again, we won't dwell on this for a long time, but, you know, my kids have asked, well, you know, why they've seen something and it's been like, oh, why did that girl kiss that girl? And do you know what we've said as a parent? And again, we're not trying to tell you how to parent your kids. If you think that it's wrong, then that's your prerogative. We're not going to try and tell you that to change your mind. But what we did with our kids is literally said, yeah, some girls like other girls. Some boys like other boys. Oh, well, can they get married? Yeah, they can get married. And that's the end of the conversation. It didn't spark some long-winded debate. It didn't spark some weird thing where all of a sudden they're just like, oh, well, I want, you know, when I told my oldest daughter that, yeah, some girls are attracted to other girls and they kiss other girls, she didn't say, oh, I'm going to go start kissing girls now because now I know that's an option. She just goes, oh, okay. And that was literally the end of the conversation. It, I, the idea that we have to shield kids from things that they're going to see in the real world just doesn't prepare them for the real world when they get out of the little bubble that they grow up in. And I think that it's a detriment.
You and I both grew up watching Disney, as did many people. Never once did I watch a Disney movie and think, you know what? Like, I think I like girls because I saw this in a Disney movie. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. But nobody brings up the fact that it's just like a man fell in love with a mermaid and now all of a sudden he wants to fuck a fish. And it's just like, you don't tell your kids like, oh, we're not supposed to fuck fish, actually.
Do we want to talk about Beauty and the Beast and Stockholm Syndrome and bestiality? Nobody had a problem with that.
Yeah, I didn't watch Lion King and immediately be like, God, I want to fuck the shit out of a lion. Like, you're never did that. That
you're
never.
A liar. Nala was
that
sexy.
Lion, that lion in particular, maybe. And I'm talking about Simba. So, point being is like, I feel like we're on to something here. Point being, that's why I brought that up. Oh, a man fell in love with a mermaid. A woman fell in love with a monster, a beast. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get it's supposed to be like, oh, what's on the inside? And there is points to all these movies, just like there is points to these rants. But the point being is like, she still was in love with a man with fur on him. He was a beast. He had the fangs and everything. And not once did anybody come out and be like, well, I'm not taking my kid to watch a show about a man who's trying to fuck a woman and he's got those scimitar legs. Like, nobody ever...
got the little goat legs.
He's got those little goat legs, those little hind legs, those little bucking legs. Nobody ever complained about that. Nobody ever said, "Oh, that man, that man's trying to slide his fingers down Ariel's gills." Like, nobody, nobody was mentioning anything about Ariel's scaly legs. Nothing.
Yep.
But the moment that the top hat becomes black,
yeah,
that's an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ariel's not black. Ariel's not real. She's a mermaid.
However, do you know what is real? Do you know what is real? Little kids that have never seen themselves represented in a Disney movie that now get a chance to. We have had, look, you and I are both straight white men in our 30s. We have had literally our entire lives of nothing but movies dedicated to specifically us.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we have movies that allow other people to see themselves represented on screen? It's not taking anything away from us. It's not taking anything away from you. It's simply giving someone else an opportunity to see a representation of themselves. It gives a young girl that's struggling with her sexuality a chance to see in a new show on Disney that this is a strong, talented warrior like princess who's in love with another girl.
When's the last time that you can remember off the top of your head an original black character in any original source material and then switching him and changing him to be white? Exactly. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I tell you a white source material being switched to black? Who's the character that comes to mind?
Oh, gosh, that's hard to tell because I remember watching the Happily Ever After, the fairy tales for all people.
Just throw one out. Who?
Who is it? Ooh, okay, yeah. Oh, gosh, The Honeymooners. You remember The Honeymooners? They made that movie, The Honeymooners, of with Cedric the Entertainer?
Yeah.
That's the first one I can think of.
That? Okay.
Which is weird because that was a terrible movie.
How long did it take you to come up with that? A while. But if I told you... to do the reverse, you'd easily throw out, like, there's an obvious one. We talk about it all the time. He's all American white.
Oh.
I can't believe you ruined my fucking example. You're a terrible
Nick Fury.
Host. He's we all talk about American this constantly. White. I can't believe that you forgot.
I forgot. That was the thing. That is not us saying Nick Fury is all American white. We are quoting someone else.
A jackass.
Someone who said
a lovable jackass.
But... we love him, but he said something stupid like 15 years ago, and we haven't let him live it down.
We haven't let him live it down. Yeah. My point being is like it happens so often that a white character becomes black and people complain, but they never make a black character white. And when they did, like Honeymooners, I never remember any controversy about that. You know why? Because who gives a shit? It was the fucking Honeymooners. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the authenticity. Just let it be. And it's just, I just don't understand, like, why people are all up in arms. Because I that's what I'm saying. Like, the moment that that happens, so Django, when Jamie Foxx came out as Django, Django was originally a Hispanic man. Nobody from the Latino community came out and was like, actually, but that's not how Latinos sound. I'm terrible with them accents and impressions. We know this. Moral of my rant is nobody cared. And I guess in short, now
too late,
sit down, shut the fuck up. If you don't like it, whatever, that's fine.
You're entitled. To be fair, I have not heard any controversy. We're kind of getting ahead of what I'm sure is going to be coming out with it, because Willow's not a huge property right now. There are a lot of other things.
I was still
happening.
On the Ariel rant. I'm sorry. I was still
on
the Ariel rant.
No, I know.
The fact
that
people are complaining about that in the movie hasn't come out yet.
I know. But I'm also, because to bring it back to what we're talking about with the moment in Willow, the reason why I brought it up at all is because this is three pretty high value, highly marketed movies or projects that Disney has come out with in this year alone that have had a homosexual character in it. And granted, we don't know if kids, you know, maybe that wasn't, maybe that's just the way they say hi and it didn't look like that, but maybe that's what that was. But we're just kind of getting out in front of the any frustration that may come from that. So if anybody's got a problem with it, like Ian said, sit down, shut up.
Don't watch it.
Just don't watch it. It'll be okay. But for me, I'm going to watch it. What did you think of the new characters? I know we got to wrap this up.
New characters were confusing. Fun at first. They went, they 180'd, I feel like.
They did.
Kit,
I want to smack Kit every time I see her.
Yeah, and I loved
why her, she was
and,
awesome
in
the
first episode.
Second episode, she was
and
terrible.
I thought like we put so much emphasis, and I don't know if they're just doing this per episode, like going to put different focus on different characters. And I get the series is called Willow, and obviously we know what we're here for. We're here for Princess Laura, and I get that. But at the same time, like her name is mentioned twice in the first episode, roughly, and it was so much emphasis on Eric and Kit, and I was cool with that. And then Kit's relationship with Jade and Kit not feeling like she fits in because she has to be in this arranged marriage with Flash Thompson and
with Tony Ravioli.
Yes. And it's just ridiculous that because I like that character. Mm-hmm. And then episode two comes and she's like really jealous of Laura and she's just whiny and bitchy and mean. And it's just like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was very cool, very lovable in the first episode. And I don't care that she has an attitude and whatnot, but I feel like you're kind of like you're giving her a bad rep here for no reason. Like there's no reason for her to be so mean all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think they're just gonna
and pompous now. She's just like, no, she's just a bicker girl.
What I think they're trying to do.
She never liked that in the first episode.
Yeah, what I think they're gonna do, and I kind of wish they wouldn't have done this, is I think they're gonna have her do the classic, oh, you know, come around and actually be.
Yeah, but
I wish they wouldn't do that.
I wish they wouldn't do that. It's too cliche.
It is cliche. And you know what? From her point of view, I can understand she wants to go get her brother. You know, she's scared for her brother. And I get that. And I don't disagree with her.
But at the same time, you're fighting this army that you know nothing about that is obviously supernatural. So wouldn't you want her to be like,
right,
you
want her to be trained?
I apparently have these awesome powers that I don't know how to use, but I'm a really powerful person so much that they had to hide my identity because they thought people would come after me to kill me because I'm that awesome. Like, oh, fuck. Okay. So how do we use that? I have no idea. Why don't you give me a minute? I'm going to go over here. I'm going to play in this dirt and see if I can grow some beans.
Which she did finally.
Berries.
Grow.
It was berries. Sorry.
She finally grew. She grew those berries. She got the sprout.
The prisoner really confused me because I feel
I know
he wasn't really a prisoner the whole time. He was just down there hanging out in the dungeon,
which I think we're going to learn a lot more about him. The fact that we found out that he was Mad Mardigan's squire when he went off.
And... Yeah, but he's Otis Campbell. He pretty much like he had a key to his own cell.
Yeah. It did seem like he did. I am interested in his character, though. I think he's filling the Mad Mardigan role of the one you don't really know if you trust, but is good in the fight. I think they're very much the archetypal characters.
Yeah, the humor is definitely there.
Yeah, Tony Ravioli, I'm not huge on yet. He plays the same character in every movie, it seems like.
Yeah, he really does.
Although he did have a nice moment in episode 2 there where he's talking to Elora and
when he goes and sits down by
when
her,
he actually sat with her and he had some words of wisdom and he was very sweet. So I think I'm going to like his character when he's got some things to do, but he hasn't really had anything to do yet. I love Erin Kinneman. Kinneman, I think is her name. Kellyman. What is it? Is it Kinneman or Kellyman? Either way, the Kit's guard. The girl that's from Solo and from Falcon the Winter Soldier with the freckles. Oh my God.
You're talking about Jade?
Jade, thank you. I'm trying to remember the actress's real name.
Oh, her real name.
Yeah, her real name.
I don't think her real name's
No, I'm pretty sure that's Erin from The Office.
It is. No, it's Erin, but I don't remember her last name, but I don't think it's Kinneman. It's Kellyman.
Kellyman.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You're close. Kinneman, yeah. Kellyman's close.
Okay, so yeah. But anyway, I really like her as an actress. I think she's done great in the few things that I've seen her in. I'm looking forward to her in this show more. And as far as the returning actors go, Warwick Davis is amazing. I 100% believe that this is Willow later on in his life. Like, he seems a little jaded. He seems... And it was so sad when you find out...
He's Luke. He's like Luke Skywalker.
He is. He reminds me of Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, like in his old age, and like, I get it, you're old, you have this wisdom, and he reminds me a lot of Luke, and I get it, same source material, right? But what do you think about, have you ever seen Ruby Cruz in anything else, the actress that plays Kit?
No, she looks familiar, but I don't think I've actually seen her.
I remember her in one thing, and that was season 2 of Castle Rock. Did you ever watch Castle Rock?
No, that's the one based on like the Stephen King properties, right? With Bill Skarsgård.
It's basically all of the Stephen King movies and shows combined into one story throughout 2 seasons so far. And the seasons kind of intertwine. And season 2 is Kathy Bates' character from Misery.
Oh, oh my gosh, if you wouldn't have said it.
It's a...
Oh my gosh. Annie. Either way,
So she plays the teenage version of Annie in that
really?
Show. Yeah, she's in a few seasons. I messed up, man. I thought I started on season 1, but when Hulu is set up so weird, when I went to click on it thinking I was starting from the beginning, I started on episode 1 of season 2.
Oh no!
So I've seen season 2. I still haven't seen season 1.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord. I should have been
reading more, but they started making references and I was like, I'm not getting it, and then I look, I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't, this is season 2.
Oh, I'm dumb, that's why, whoops.
Damn, I got the dumb. But yeah, that's really all I have to say about these first 2 episodes. I'm liking it and I'm enjoying it. I just think it's a little weird, and hopefully it kind of picks up, and I think it will.
I agree with you. I think it's going to pick up. I know that the early reviews, people that have seen a few episodes are really enjoying it. And so I really liked it. I will say that if you have gotten through this, we didn't really spoil anything. I was surprised at the Alora Dannon reveal. I will say that. But also, if you have small children and you've been wanting them to watch this, pre-screen it. Not because of the same-sex kiss. The monsters in the first episode, a couple of them are genuinely frightening to look at. The weird
the
one that took Eric, she was creepy.
And I think it has to do with the time, man, because back then, like, I think you could have got away with stuff like that 100%. Back in the '80s, because if you go back, those characters like that he went up against were really creepy too. They creeped me out even back then. So yeah, like, really, I think if you modify them to today's time, then yeah, dude, it fit
right in. But I remember watching it and thinking, man, they're going in the same vein as the original. And like, I don't think I would let the 4-year-old watch this one. I think he would have nightmares. But I don't know. Allie's going to watch them tonight when we get done with this. So she's the one that gets to make the decisions on what the kids get to watch. They're all real sensitive and to things you, like right? that, like her. Yeah.
She gets to decide what you get to watch.
Oh, were we going to watch Willow? No, you're not going to watch Willow. I've decided. You're not allowed.
And you're like, jokes on you. I've already watched it.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. For everybody watching, listening, what did you guys think about Willow? If you're on YouTube, let us know in the comments below. If you are listening on the podcast, hit us up on any of the social media, or you can email us at contact@paperweightentertainment.com. If you are watching on YouTube, please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell, all the things you're supposed to do. We have lots of content coming. We are planning some more top five lists once Willow is done. We're going to have a little bit of gap in between Willow, and I believe the next thing that we'll have to watch weekly will be Mandalorian, which starts at the beginning of March. So we'll have all of January and February to kind of to fill up with some stuff. So we'll have some top five lists and things like that coming up. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure that you rate and review us. That helps us out a lot. Go to paperweightentertainment.com to find us on all the social medias. Follow us on TikTok especially. Check out Silver Screen Scoundrels. And with all that down and out of the way, anything else, Ian? You good?
That pretty much wraps it up. We, like Derek said, we do have some top five segments we're wanting to do on like video games and stuff like that. We've also been talking about more comic book discussions. We're going to roll out some of our favorite artists, and we've done something similar to before, but we're going to get into more detail about who we like and why, and art style. Derek and I kind of went over it earlier because we can't bring up a subject without like spurting out like our likes and dislikes. And we just got a lot of, if we wanted to, because we feel like we talk a lot about comic book movies and shows and stuff, but we don't talk enough, I should say, about the source material. So we just got a lot that we usually talk a few times a week between Derek, Bob, Colonel Bob, and I, and we always bring up some sort of comic discussion, whether it be a graphic novel that we like or what we're currently reading. So we're gonna get into all that and get you some more comic book stuff and episodes out and talk about what we like. And hopefully for the ones listening, you'll drop a comment and tell us what you like. And or, I mean, you can even do it now, like what you would like us to talk about. We can talk about those type of comics. And I think we've talked before, like kind of how we got into it. I can't remember how the stuff we've done on this show, we got a lot of comic book source stuff coming up that we've talked about we want to do on here. So
yeah, and like Ian said, if there's something you guys want us to cover that we haven't covered yet, I know that we haven't gotten to Rings of Power. That is coming. I know that we had a little bit of a delay on that, but
that is 100% Trent's fault. That's 100% my fault.
It's all Trent. Don't let Ian fool you. It's all Trent's fault. But yeah, we will be covering Rings of Power very, very soon. It'll probably be a bonus episode at some point coming up. And yeah, if you're interested in us covering something that we haven't yet, make sure you drop us a comment or an email, like I said, or even just hit us up on social media, and we will get on that as soon as we possibly can, because like I said, we're going to have a little bit of time coming up here where we've got a little bit of a break and we can hit some of these things that we've been wanting to do. So we're going to wrap this up. Ian's got someplace to be. I've got bed to go to because it is Christmas time at the post office. So for Ian, I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.